Bueller. Ah, there we go. Morning. Let's turn to Psalm 103. We'll be reading verses 15 to 18. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his children's righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today and for this morning, God. And we come before you, Lord, to receive from your word, God, and to worship, Father, and to just want to come and pray for those amongst us, Lord. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, you speak to each and every single one of us today, Father, through whether it's through the word, through the worship, and through the prayer, through all three, Father. I pray that today you give us a fresh revelation of who you are, God, and we thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us, God. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah. So this psalm is pretty, I think a lot of you know this psalm. It's a pretty popular one. And as I was going over this, I kept, I actually was reading this a few months ago as, I think it was after Jared was born. And I was drawn to actually verse 17 and 18 and how it's speaking about the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to those who fear him and his righteousness to children's children. And as my child was just born, I was always thinking, there he is. As my child was just born, I was always thinking, like, you know, how can I ensure that the blessings that I receive or the favor that I receive, not just my favor, but how can I pass something along to Jared? How can I ensure that his future is set? Just like my dad did for me. And I remember when it was just, I was really struggling with it. I'm like, well, what am I going to pass along to him? It's not like I'm making millions. It's not like I have, you know, houses or all these assets to give him. And as, you know, it wasn't that. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to grow up penniless and poor. And but I went back to what my dad said to me when I first moved to Hong Kong. And this is when Cora first met my parents and our parents met each other. And something that he said to in front of all of us, and he never said to me before, was when we were born, when my brother and I were born, and he said, you know, I didn't have money to give him. I don't have worldly riches to make sure that he goes to the best school and, you know, that he's set for life. The only thing that I had was, you know, just prayer. And the only thing I could do was pray for my children. And what ended up happening is, like, my dad was able to provide, you know, so much more than I could ever imagine. And that's just a reflection of what the Father is. But those words came back to me when I was reading this passage. And, you know, with trying to figure out how Jared's life is going to play out, especially in Hong Kong with education costs being so high and housing costs, God was really speaking to me and telling me, you know, Andrew, don't, you know, all these things, you don't have to worry about it. You know, as long as your days are on this earth, which isn't very long, you know, his days are like grass as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. You know, everything that I do, everything that, you know, I try to establish for myself, it dissipates very quickly after I die. You know, I try to leave a legacy for my son, like my name or, you know, whatever it is, but chances are, aside from my family and friends, not too many people are going to remember me after I die, and I'm not going to be able to leave that much for him. But in this verse, God also gives us the solution, or gave me the solution to, you know, my quandary and my conundrum. You know, what can I do? How can I pass along a legacy? How can I establish a legacy for Jared? And it's not about, you know, making a lot of wealth. It's not about, you know, ensuring that he has good manners or that he goes to a good school, but really it's about teaching him the covenant of the Lord. And it's about teaching him, you know, the law, teaching him the word, and how to live according to the word. See, in verses 18, it says, "To those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them." So it's not just knowing what's in the law, but also doing it and making sure that, he follows them. And this verses 17 and 18 actually point to two places in Deuteronomy. Actually, Deuteronomy 6, the Shema passage. I'll turn to it. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So this word, the ways of God, how Jesus has taught us to live, how Paul instructs us in his letters, all these things shall be, not just a passing kind of lesson that we give to our children, or I give to Jared, but it really is ingrained in our everyday lives. How we even speak, how I even relate to my wife, how I relate to my parents, it really gives him that perspective of, oh, this is how I should act. This is how I should be. This is how I should talk. This is how I should give. Yeah, even with tithing, I think back to when I was young. My parents actually never taught me that much about tithing. And they never really gave me, they were never very transparent about tithing. I know that sounds really bad, but they never taught me outrightly, "Hey, Andrew, you should tithe." They just told me a few places here and there. And growing up, I found when I got my first paycheck, I found it really hard to tithe. And this isn't to blame them, but it's just an example, because they didn't share with me, like, overtly, and sit me down and say, "Andrew, this is, as a Christian, as a child of God, this is how we should conduct ourselves and tithing." And it took me a while to actually get over this. And it was like, I don't want to give up my paycheck. I'm making like little pennies too. So I was working at the Gap, and it's like, for those who've done retail, you understand what that's like. And for the number of hours that you slave over folding clothes and telling people what sizes they should be wearing, it's, you don't want to give away that paycheck. But, which goes to my point of, we should really, or God was speaking to me that I should really be overt and very intentional in what I say to Jared and how I teach him. Even now, as a baby, he doesn't do anything. He just says, "Goo goo gaga," right? But, praying over every meal and making a habit so he understands. And you see the children at Noah's Ark, when you tell them it's time to pray, they all automatically just go like this. And they have no idea what they're doing, right? But they clasp their hands and they look around, and prayer is done, and they go, "Amen," right? But it ingrains in their minds and in who they are that this is something that we do. This is something that is normal. This is something that we write on our doorposts. So in every aspect of their lives, this is how they are reminded of God. And if we do this, the blessings of God will just come naturally. We don't have to make any effort, or we don't have to make any human effort to ensure that our kids are set up, to ensure that we leave a legacy, that we build up this huge inheritance for them. If we teach them the ways of the Lord and they follow the ways of the Lord, it would follow that the blessings and the favor of the Lord would come naturally, right? I mean, it did for us, so why would God be any different for our children? So if we teach them and we instruct them, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them, it's not going to be any different, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Going back to Deuteronomy, one chapter before, Deuteronomy 5. What's my time? Okay. Okay. 9. Okay. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, and on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. Okay, this is kind of heavy, and like, oh, Andrew went in a completely different direction. But, so I was actually drawn to this verse too as I was reading Psalm 103, and I always had trouble with verses like this, that God will punish not just you, but the generation that comes after you, and you know, to the third or fourth generation. I'm like, oh crap, I better do good. I better make sure I walk correctly so that my future generations don't suffer. And I got to thinking, you know, is God really that kind of God where he says, you do something wrong, I'm going to hold it against not just you, but your family and the generations after you? And I came to this revelation upon reading Psalm 103 that it isn't like that. God doesn't go out of his way to punish those people that follow after you. It's because in this situation where God says, this is my take on it. You know, in this situation where God is saying, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and fourth generations, it's not because he goes out of his way. It's because these fathers did not instruct the children correctly. Did not instruct the children in the ways of the Lord. So, of course, the children aren't going to know the ways of God, and they're going to walk in opposition towards God. And that's why there's that punishment of the iniquity. Now, this is, you know, Old Testament and Old Covenant. So, you know, in our context, you know, if we don't instruct our children how to walk according to the ways of God, you know, it's not that he'll punish us, but, you know, his favor and his blessings aren't there. Or they're not as present. You know, if we just follow God this way, and you know, I can look to my own life, and there's plenty of times where I've said, "Nope, I'm going to do it my own way," and my my life wasn't as, how should I say, like it was very clear that God His presence wasn't in my life, and things were a lot more difficult for me. Not to say that if God was there, I would have, you know, gotten the jobs I wanted. I would have had the life I wanted. But it was a lot of there's a lot of wandering and very directionless. But even in this passage in Deuteronomy, there is hope. Verse 10. But showing love and kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So there's a flip side. You know, for those who follow him and those who listen to him, he will show his love and kindness. Just like it says in Psalm 103, my love and kindness, I don't want to misquote this. But the love and kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. So, I think the takeaway for us is that we might have, for us parents in the room, I get to say that, parents, and include myself, but us parents in the room, and also for those who are yet to be married, yet to have kids, you know, having this verse, having this passage really takes that pressure off of us to build up this wealth and to build up this legacy. You know, it's not just material wealth, but build up this legacy and, you know, what our name is amounted to, you know, building up our family name, making sure that our family name is reputable and, you know, that we can pass this along to our children. You know, it's good to have these things, but it really takes that pressure off of us to focus on these things. And the thing that we should focus on is teaching our children how to walk in the ways of the Lord. And it's not just, you know, in baby dedication class that we just went to, and we had a baby dedication service a few weeks ago. Peace Amoy says, you know, it's not the responsibility of the Sunday school teachers to teach the kids. It's the responsibility of myself as a parent to teach them. And, you know, going off of that, it's our responsibility then to learn for ourselves, to know ourselves what they are, rather than pass them along to someone else to teach them, right? Because it is our responsibility as it's mandated in the Bible. And if we were to do that, then really there is no worry, right? When my dad was here a few weeks, last month, to see his grandson, and one thing that he says was he's very proud of the fact that now I'm a pastor and working at church. And I think when I moved to Hong Kong, there was lots of consternation on my parents' part, and like, oh my gosh, what is he going to do in Hong Kong? Hong Kong's such a dark place. And knowing that I started going back to church again, now I'm a pastor, there's a certain amount of relief on their part, saying like, phew, you know, we can rest easy now, because it's not that, you know, he's got a good job, a stable job, and he's married. It's because he's walking with the Lord, and because of that, of course he's going to be blessed. Of course he's going to be taken care of, and there's really nothing to fear, even though they still tell me to put on a jacket. But really, in the grand scheme of things, they really do trust God, and they say, you know, Lord, we've taught him, we tried to teach him well, and now he's going to be walking in your ways, and he's going to be blessed because of that. So I'm going to ask Pastor Ricky up for worship. And as we reflect and pray today, while I was speaking, I think God put this thought in my head of, do we ourselves know his ways? Do we know how he is and what he has instructed us to do? Not as a condemnation of, you don't know, and, you know, why don't you know? But it's more of a reminder that we should know. No, not just as a way to evangelize to people when people do come up to us and ask us why we believe what we do. It's not just so that we can you know, even correct our brothers and sisters that are not walking with God, but it's also for us to know so that we can teach to our children. We can instruct them correctly. I just like how we worry about, oh, what school are they going to get into, and worry about what their future is going to be like. This is even more important than their schooling. This is how they're going to live out their life. And if we don't know, how can we possibly teach them? So as we pray, you know, let's ask God to bring us that conviction, and also, the conviction to know what he says and know his word, and to, you know, chase after his presence, not so that we can have power, but that we can go and teach. Let's pray.
It's who you are and I love by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. 'Cause you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways.
God, we thank you for being such a good father. We thank you for being such, or being the perfect father, God. And Lord, I pray for each and every single one of us. God, that you really just put your words, God, your ways into our hearts so that we live it out, Lord. And that we can teach those around us, our friends, our children, Lord, to walk in that same way, God, to walk according to your ways, Lord. And then we can just let go knowing that you are watching over them, you are carrying them, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Turning to our prayer focus, let's pray for those in our community who are suffering from cancer and undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for those who are sick and have yet to receive Christ. Let's pray for the families as well who are praying for them, that they continue to pray for not only their healing, but also their salvation as well. Let's pray for those who are suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand on them, and also encouragement for them as they pray for these various ailments. Pray for those in our community that are looking for jobs. Pray for God's providence and for Him to open doors and the right opportunities for them. Turning to our Tuesday morning prayer focus, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government. Lots of things going on lately with people stepping down, and just really pray for good leadership for this city. Let's pray for the wealth gap in the city as well. Let's pray for revival and all the churches that are in Hong Kong, the various ministries we partner with, SSI, Shanti, Masters Beatty, Sons and Daughters, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church, and the Hong Kong students who are under immense pressure to perform in their studies. Let's pray for the staff. Pray that we work well, not only together, but really put everything that we have into our work, because as we're working for God. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound team, and the AV team led by Pastor Nate. Let's pray for heart of worship and also heart of excellence to do the best that they can and to really lead the whole body into worship of God. Let's pray for the hospitality teams, the welcoming and barista teams that are under. Let's pray for just real genuine and authentic people manning these teams, and for those that are coming into the door, our doors for the first time, that they feel really welcomed and know that this can be a home for them. Lastly, let's pray for the house churches. This week is the last week for house churches, so let's pray that they end the season on a high note and just have a great time of fellowship. Let's pray for Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lion Rock, Old Peak Road, Soho, and Westville. So thankful for your faithfulness, God. And Father, we pray, or I pray for every one of us, God, that we continue to walk with you, Lord, to establish a legacy, Lord, of following after you, God, as your disciples, God, as Christ followers, Lord, that we can pass on to our future generations, God, and them to their generations. Father, be with us, God, during this week. Be with us as we go off to do the things that you have assigned to us to steward, God. Lord, be with us today. Holy Spirit, speak to us, God, and just connect our spirits to Holy Spirit to lead our body and soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming to EMP. Pray that you have a good day and enjoy the rest of your prayer time.